Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
The very thing that you find when we say fear, what comes to your mind, particularly in relationships, is the very thing that God's saying, I want to use to bless you, my friend.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Does the Bible talk about fear? It does much. Can I give you three passages? Write these down. But I'm going to, rather than describe fear and try and define it for you, I want to use it out of the life, one life, the life of Jacob. But these three references, just write down if you would, because they all refer to fear out of the New Testament. Write down 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. That is a key passage. I'm going to come back to that. But that passage talks about the love of God and that perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Put down Romans chapter 8, verse 15, because the Bible also talks about a spirit of bondage that is given by fear. Also write down another passage of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, because that also refers to a young man named Timothy, a preacher. And Paul said, listen, don't give in to the spirit of fear. Timothy, you don't have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, we could talk about the topic of fear would be way beyond what I can accomplish. So I want to narrow it down to the area of fear in the area of relationships, because God desires for every Christian to live by faith, not fear. People all through the ages of history have fought their fears in one way or another. And the only thing that will really conquer fear is faith in the Lord. The just shall live by faith. And I'd like to illustrate this by the life of Jacob. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 32. I believe if you are going to move forward in your life by faith, you need to conquer the area of fear. Because fear itself will cripple you. You as a Christian, understand, listen to me. Fear is like sand in the engine of your life. Faith is like oil that will lubricate your life. Jacob had a grandfather. What was his name? Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham had a son. What was his name? Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah. And then Jacob comes along. Jacob had a brother. What was his name? Esau. And by the time the age of 40 years came around, they had already had some struggle in their own relationships. All three of these men are named as men of faith at the end of their life. So Jacob is a man that lived by faith. But throughout his life, he lived by his feelings. He's a great illustration of a man living by the Spirit of God and a man living by his flesh. A man living by faith, a man living by his feelings. There are many times that Jacob lived by his feelings. At one point in time, his brother came in from the field, Esau, a great hunter, brought food. He was so hungry that his brother, Jacob, the manipulator, the supplanter, deceived and said, hey, listen, yeah, you hungry? All right, listen, I got this beautiful food right here. Let me give it to you. But either way, give me your birthright. And Esau, a profane man, the Bible says, did it. He got so torqued that he started talking to others about the fact he's going to wipe out Jacob. And Jacob felt real burdened to leave. And that's exactly what he did. For 20 years, Jacob left. Remember the story? And for 20 years now, he had two wives, not just one. He got two. Do you remember? Rachel and Leah. But God's hand was still on him. And that's where you find now Jacob, who says, Esau, I'm sending him messengers, 400 people that return with a message from his brother Esau. And what is Jacob's response? You know what it is? It's one of fear. It's one of being upset. You will end up finding the entrance of that fear comes from our past, our present, our future. Notice in the present, the frustrations that end up coming that we live with every day. Many times as Jacob was distressed, he was upset. And the reason was because in the future, there was a fear. He was under torment. And the failure that is haunting him is creating him presently be upset. And in the future, he's living in torment, all of this in his relationships. The great thing is the Bible does not just say, all right, here's how it is. How do we eliminate it? Let me tell you how you eliminate this very simply and very quickly. Let me give you an overview, then we'll expand it a little bit. Really, it starts in relationships. Gain forgiveness from the past. Take the handle of failure out of the life and put yourself in a place of understanding the love of God, the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, and we start with forgiveness now in the present. Rather than living in your failures, you gain forgiveness, and rather than living in your frustration, you learn to forget. When you end up moving from failures to forgiveness and from frustrations to forgetting, now you can move forward in the future, not by that fear, but by faith, just as Jacob. Verse 9, notice the Bible says, when Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, this is what happened. Very simply, first of all, he remembered God. You say, how do I eliminate that fear? You've got to remember God. You've got to cry out to him. And number two, on a practical basis, you've got to quote the promises of his word over the feelings of the moment. And when you end up doing that, then it moves you by remembering God as well. You begin eliminating that torment by seeing his love. And you see it at the cross. You say, Pastor, you don't know how complicated my life is. I don't care how complicated it is. God says, I love you, I forgive you, I created you, and I want to give you that love and forgiveness. There is hope in that, my friend. You don't need to live by fear. You need to live by faith. You as a child of God, you put yourself in a place that when you start having that tormenting fear of what's going to happen, remember God. Number two, you also, as well as Jacob did, you need to restore past and present relationships for that future enjoyment. Because Jacob, who was now crying out in those promises that he had in his father and his grandfather, was quoting them, as he said. Now as well, ultimately, when he did meet Esau, chapter 33, the very things and those relationships he did restore. It's a great passage. I'd like to tell you that it was from here on out wonderful, and it wasn't, but the fact is, in verse 4, and Esau ran to meet him, Jacob, chapter 33, and he embraced him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and they wept. Esau, verse 9, said, I have enough, my brother, because he gave him all kinds of things. He said, keep what you have. And here you got brothers now fighting over what gifts they have from one another. No, you take it. No, I got it. No, you take it. You take it. You take it. And finally, you end up seeing Jacob and Esau and that relationship that is restored. The conscience is clear. You know what that's saying to us? It's saying to us, listen, whatever fear you're living by, you begin living by faith. And that faith that God's given to you just as he did, because that faith is a gift from God. You can't manufacture it of yourself. You begin remembering God. God, I'm crying out to you. I remember your promises. I'm going to eliminate that by the love of God. And then I'm going to restore those relationships. It might end up meaning that you go back and take care of these relationships and restore those, just as Jacob and Esau did. I was wrong. I was wrong for what I said. I was wrong for what I did. And get those things cleared up. Because when you get yourself in the place now where those relationships are restored, that moves you, lastly, to realize that the fear that you face, that's the very thing God wants to use to build your faith. Because that fear that you're living with, that's the thing that God wanted to use in Jacob's own life. And ultimately, Jacob, who moved from supplanter to Jacob and his own name changed. And God, listen, God reminded Jacob again and again and again, including Jacob's name that was changed. That's what you find in Genesis 32 when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And he reminded him again 7 years later in Genesis 35, 10. And God said unto him, your name is Jacob, but your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because his name is called Israel. And that relationship that God promised Israel and that family, which today, my friend, the only country that's named in the world is named after one guy, Israel, because God's promises are true. And I'm going to tell you something. For some of you, the very thing that you're wrestling with, just as Jacob wrestled with an angel, was the very thing God wanted to use to bless him. And the very thing that you find when we say fear, what comes to your mind, particularly in relationships, is the very thing that God's saying, I want to use to bless you, my friend. I'll use to build your faith. But you have got to let me. You're not a robot. You're human, created with the most godlike part of humans called a will. And he's giving you choices every day, my friend, every day. You say, well, I just don't know about this God thing. You won't be the first, my friend. You won't be the first. H.A. Ironside, a great preacher in times gone by, told the true story about a statesman whose name was Robert Ingersoll. It caught my attention because I would have loved to have been there. It must have been a sweaty moment. Roger Ingersoll was speaking to a very large crowd. He was talking about God, and he pulled his watch out from his pocket, and he said, according to the Bible, God has struck men to death for blasphemy. He said, I'm going to blaspheme him, and I'm going to give him 5 minutes to strike me dead and damn my soul. Oh. He pulled his watch. Bam. Complete silence. 1 minute. 2 minutes. 3 minutes. People getting nervous. 4 minutes. A lady faints. 5 minutes goes by. Ingersoll snaps his watch shut, puts it in his pocket. After 5 minutes, that period of silence that seemed like forever, he said, you see, there's no God, or he would have taken me at my word. Later, that same story was told to a very well-known man in Joseph Parker. And Joseph Parker said about that situation when he heard about it. He said, very wisely of Ingersoll, he said, you know what? And did that American gentleman, Ingersoll, think that he could exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes? You know, my friend, God's patient. You see things go on in the world as I see things go on in the world every day. I said, God, how can you let that go on? You know what? God's patience. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. You know what? It's the love of God that keep Ingersoll from dropping his shoes right there, right now. It's the love of God that's holding back the judgment of God, the love of God and the mercy of God. That's like a storm wall that's holding back the raging waters of a judgment that someday will come. But my friend, do not miss the fact that it's God's love that's holding back what's going on. My heart grieves every time I do hear someone that either I know or someone that I have heard of over the years that goes on into eternity. Because for years and years growing up, I used to watch late night television. I used to watch a guy named Johnny Carson. 35 years set the standard for late night television, the culture of America. He was asked one time, what do you want to put in your tombstone, Johnny Carson? He said, I want to put in my tombstone, I'll be right back. Maybe he said it because he's at heart a comedian. I'm going to tell you something, man, my friend, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. I have no idea where you're at spiritually, my friend, but I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. He really does. He proved it by giving his own son. And Christian, he does not want you to live in fear. I like to read through Genesis because these men that were considered men of faith had their moments of fear. And until they came to the point of realizing, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear. Even the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 1, he said, don't be afraid of their faces, Jeremiah. How many times is it that we just get so fearful of what someone thinks or says or some look on their face? Hey, don't be fearful. You might be here today and you might say, you know what? I don't know the love of God. But it's God's love that casts out that torment. Does not want you to live in fear. Wants you to live by faith. He'll give you that faith if you're willing to bow your knee to him.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.